The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I'm Hugh Hewitt. This is the most shameful day in broadcasting I've ever had to do in 30 years. I wasn't on the air in April of 1975 when the United States bugged out of Saigon. But it's even more shameful than Saigon because we didn't have the troops there that could have stopped it. This was a choice. The United States made a choice to sacrifice all of our allies of 20 years and the women of Afghanistan. It is 100% on Joe Biden. It is 100% his decision to leave these people to a dark night descending. It is as though it were February 1979 again, and Ayatollah Khomeini was arriving in Tehran to millions of people clapping, and Jimmy Carter was paralyzed in inaction in the White House. We had undermined our ally, the Shah, and a dark night descended in Iran that is still ongoing. We can get another Reagan in the United States. And take us 3 years to get another Reagan in the United States. But this is deeply shameful. And it's all on us. It did not have to happen. It has, by the way, nothing to do with Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with the Trump administration or the Doha Accord of February 29th, 2020. Read the accord. Read the annexes to the accord. The Taliban breached that accord, and the Biden administration was not bound by it. They simply chose to walk away. They could have done nothing, as John Podhoretz mentioned yesterday, and we would still be helping our allies and the women of Afghanistan who chose to flee get out. We could have extended this 1 year. Joe Biden's duplicitous statement yesterday is a shameful moment. Biden's Afghanistan surrender is the lead editorial in the Wall Street Journal today. I want to read it to you, but I also give you the phone number, 1-800-520-1234. If you have any knowledge of what happened in April of 1975 in Saigon and today, and you want to compare it, it's the worst moment in American foreign policy since then. Worse than the failed rescue mission in the desert to get the American hostages back. I hope this does not end up in American hostages in Kabul. I hope the rules of engagement for the Marines, the 101st and 82nd Airborne, are very explicit. There has, to my knowledge, been no air support, nothing. For any of the Afghan people who are fighting, there have been little outposts of Afghani resistance by their special forces that are being overwhelmed. Murder is occurring across the country, and we've done nothing about it. We've done nothing about it for months. People have demanding to get our interpreters out for months. They ran into bureaucracy and websites that failed, even as of yesterday. Special emergency visa applications were bouncing back as desperate Afghanis tried to get what had been guaranteed to them, an opportunity to go somewhere. There have been 5 deaths at the airport this morning from shooting. We don't know what sort of shooting. The Taliban controls everything in Kabul. They appear not to have approached the airport yet. Heavily armed airport. There was a report last night, which is unbelievable, that we've cut off Afghan civilians trying to leave instead of mixing them in with every American airplane to prevent any of them being attacked. In any event, it's shameful. It's deeply distressing. My phone number is 1-800-520-1234. If you have a comment, I'll hang up on you if you call up to tell me this is Donald Trump's fault. It's not. One of the great Beltway, world-weary nobodies, Ian Bremmer, called me a partisan yesterday for speaking the absolute truth that this is all on 100% Joe Biden. The simpering leftist appeasement crowd has been out saying, oh, this is not Joe Biden's fault. It's Donald Trump's fault. Mike Pompeo signed that agreement. Mike Pompeo was on Fox News yesterday, laying down the complete and utter and perfectly persuasive rebuttal to that nonsense. 7 months in office they've been there. 7 months to have kept the 2,500 American soldiers, 5,000 NATO troops and American air power that we had agreed to keep there. Until an agreement had been negotiated between the Afghan government and the Taliban on power sharing, which foresaw and anticipated a partition of the country into Taliban zones and into free zones. Totally overrun. Began a week ago, by the way, in Kunduz. Very well documented in the Washington Post in a report that I have linked at hughhewitt.com on my Twitter account. But let me read to you the Wall Street Journal editorial. President Biden's statement on Saturday, washing his hands of Afghanistan, deserves to go down as one of the most shameful in history by a commander-in-chief at such a moment of American retreat. As the Taliban closed in on Kabul, Mr. Biden sent a confirmation of U.S. abandonment that absolves himself of responsibility, deflected blame to his predecessor, and more or less invited the Taliban to take over the country. With that statement of capitulation, the Afghan military's last resistance collapsed. Taliban fighters captured Kabul. President Ghani fled the country while the U.S. frantically tried to evacuate Americans. The jihadists, the U.S., toppled 20 years ago for sheltering Osama bin Laden, will now fly their flag over the U.S. Embassy building on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Our goal all along has been to offer constructive advice to avoid this outcome. We criticized Donald Trump's deal with the Taliban and warned about the risk of his urge to withdraw in a rush. And we did the same for Mr. Biden. The president's advisors offered an alternative, as did Afghanistan Study Group. Mr. Biden is always too assured of his own foreign policy acumen, refused to listen. Mr. Biden's Saturday self-justification exemplifies his righteous dishonesty. Quote, one more year or five more years of U.S. military presence would not have made a difference if the Afghan military cannot or will not hold its own country, Mr. Biden said. But the Afghans were willing to fight and to take casualties with the support of the U.S. and its NATO allies, especially air power. A few thousand troops and contractors could have done the job and prevented this rout. I repeat, because this is exactly correct, it is what was negotiated in Doha, by the way. A few thousand troops and contractors could have done the job and prevented this rout. Worse is his attempt to blame his decisions on Mr. Trump. When I came to office, I inherited a deal cut by my predecessor, which he invited the Taliban to discuss at Camp David on the eve of 9/11/2019. That left the Taliban in the strongest position militarily since 2001 and imposed a May 1, 2021 deadline on U.S. forces. Shortly before he left office, he also drew U.S. forces down to a bare minimum of 2,500. Therefore, when I became president, I faced a choice. Follow through on the deal with a brief extension to get our forces and our allies' forces out safely, or ramp up our presence and send more American troops to fight once again in other countries' civil conflict. Note that Mr. Biden is more critical of his predecessor than he is of the Taliban. The president has spent 7 months ostentatiously overturning one Trump policy after another on foreign and domestic policy, yet he now claims Afghanistan policy is something he could do nothing about. This is a pathetic denial of his own agency. It's also a false choice. It's as if Winston Churchill, with his troops surrounded at Dunkirk, had declared that Neville Chamberlain had got him into this mess and the British had already fought too many wars on the continent. Mr. Trump's withdrawal deadline was a mistake, but Mr. Biden could have maneuvered around it. He knows this because his administration conducted an internal policy review that provided him with options. The Taliban had violated its pledges under the deal. Mr. Biden could have maintained the modest presence his military and foreign policy advisors suggested. He could have decided to withdraw, but done so based on conditions on the ground, on preserving the Afghans with a plan for transition and air support. Instead, Biden ordered a rapid and total withdrawal at the onset of the annual fighting season in time for the symbolic date of 9/11. Most of the American press at the time hailed his decision as, quote, courageous. The result, a mere four months later, is the worst U.S. humiliation since the fall of Saigon in 1975. The Taliban is saying it was a peaceful transfer of power in Kabul, but the scenes are redolent of U.S. defeat. The scramble to destroy classified documents, the helicopters evacuating U.S. diplomats, the abandonment into Taliban hands of valuable U.S. military equipment. Worst of all is the plight of the Afghans, who assisted the U.S. over two decades. Mr. Biden said Saturday that the 5,000 troops he is sending will help in evacuating Afghans and Americans, but there are thousands of translators, their families, and other officials who are at peril from Taliban rule and didn't get out in time. The Biden administration was far too slow to get them out of the country, despite urgent warning. The murder of these innocents will compound the stain on the Biden presidency. My phone number is 1-800-520-1234. The shameful day for America. And it's all on Joe Biden. Stay tuned. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, 1-800-520-1234. You can call me today if you are a Vietnam veteran or a veteran of the Afghan War. Norm in Canada. Good morning, Norm.
How are you doing, my boy?
Good.
Good. Hugh, I grew up in the Vietnam era. I'm old. I'm your age, same age. And this has really bothered me. There's something that was said by one of the presidents that I've never forgotten, and that is that an error only becomes a mistake when you refuse to fix it.
Well, Norm, I gather you remember 1975 and the shame of that. The American did not have troops in country. Everybody bugged out, by the way. Canadian bugged out, too. And your
right.
Prime Minister used yesterday to call for a new election.
Yeah.
He ought to be thrown out of office just for doing that. He didn't have the decency.
He's an embarrassment.
I hope you throw him out. Thank you, Norm. William in Georgia. Hello, William.
Hi. I just wanted to say, mention that we have, how many troops do we have in Germany? How many troops do we have in Japan? And we had Afghanistan basically neutralized with 2,500 to 3,000 troops. And it took us 20 years to get to where we are today. It's all been lost.
And it could have stayed that way forever. The Doha Accords would have allowed us. The Taliban breached the Doha Accords as soon as they made their move. We did not have to pull those troops out. We could have bombed them in. Joe Biden says 1 year, 5 years wouldn't have made a difference. He's completely wrong. He's covering his, well, it's a lie. He and everybody on his team are lying about who's responsible and what is happening. I'm watching these pictures. I'm so angry. These people are all going to be murdered. All of these people are going to be murdered.
I agree with your comments this morning. And also, I just wanted to mention that Biden took credit for Afghanistan. That's why he changed the date of the withdrawal, and then now he turns around and blames everything on Trump when things go south. So
it's cowardly, it's shameful, and if you saw the picture that was released of him yesterday sitting alone, no one wants to be with him. No one wants their fingerprints on this.
Biden is the worst United States president in history. He's worse than Obama. He's worse than Carter.
There's a lot of time. It's only going to get worse for 3.5 years. You should see the pictures. I'm rolling it. If you're watching on Salem News, you can download the app.
Okay,
go look at the pictures. Thank you, William. I encourage you to go look at the pictures that we're using as B-roll. The chaos at the airport. The thousands of Afghans are going to get murdered. Thousands because of Joe Biden. William in Westchester, New York. Hello, William.
Morning, Hugh. In my high school and college years, I followed the war, events in Vietnam pretty closely, and eventually in 1970, I found myself playing like a negligible role on a big amphibious ship off the coast. Fast forward 20 or so years, and I found myself employed in a Navy school in Rhode Island, which has a building called Hewitt Hall.
It's not one of ours, though we are a Navy family. It's my wife's side.
Okay. Well, we were involved in teaching the procedures of NEOs, non-combatant evacuation operations, and it seems like the situation on the ground right now presents something like the need to evacuate the several thousand who might not be able to get out by air. It's about 100-plus miles east to the Pakistan border. We might have ourselves a situation something like Chosin Reservoir or Xenophon's March of the 10,000.
Pakistan won't take them in. Pakistan is complicit. We ought to cut off every dime to that country. Backstabbing SOBs. I'll be right back, America. Thank you, William. 1-800-520-1234. ISI has been against us from the beginning. They were warned by Richard Armitage at the beginning after 9/11 to get the hell out of the way. They stayed down low for a year or so, and they've been double-dealing us since. There should be payback. India is our friend. Everything to India. I'd cut them off. 1-800-520-1234. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Morning Glory America, bonjour, hi Canada, Hugh Hewitt joined by Jake Sherman of Punch Bowl News. On the most shameful day I've been broadcasting in 30 years, not the most shocking day, that was 9/11, this is the most shameful day for America that I've been on the air in 30 years. Good morning Jake, how are you?
I'm well Hugh, how are you?
Good, I want to play for you a number of reactions, get your reaction. You're a political reporter, I don't expect national security commentary from you, but I'd love your political commentary on various things that are said. Here is former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on with Fox News with Chris Wallace yesterday. Cut number 10.
He should be less focused on trying to blame this on someone else than solving the problem of making sure that we protect and defend American security. Chris, it's worth noting this did not happen on our watch. We reduced our forces significantly. The Taliban didn't advance on capitals all across Afghanistan. So it's just a plain old fact that this is happening under the Biden administration's leadership now, almost a quarter of a way into his first term. This is not the way leaders lead by pointing backwards. We had a bad deal we inherited. The JCPOA, we got out of it. We secured America from the risk from Iran. We inherited a horrible deal in Syria where ISIS controlled real estate the size of Great Britain. We crushed them. Every president confronts challenges. This president confronted a challenge in Afghanistan. He has utterly failed to protect the American people from this challenge.
Jake Sherman, what do you think?
I mean, he's right, right? I mean, every president does inherit a set of circumstances that are beyond his or her control and has to deal with them. And I think that there's no doubt about that. I mean, listen, the larger question to me here, and this is going to be overarching, Hugh, is how did this happen? How was the United States' intelligence so flawed, its plan so haphazard, and it was and even so was executed so poorly? I mean, the politics, the questions are just abound, and we this morning, I know we're going to play some more clips here, but this morning we talked to Kevin McCarthy, who exploded at the administration on a call yesterday, and he said there's all sorts of things he wants to know from this administration and wants to investigate. And I have to imagine Congress is going to be all over this for the next couple.
There should be a select panel on the Afghanistan war, but that's another question. I want to go through these clips. Ryan Crocker, key Obama guy. Cut number 25 on Meet the Press yesterday.
He owns this now completely. It isn't Donald Trump's Afghan policy. It's Joe Biden's.
That is a Obama-Biden guy, Jake Sherman. The idea that I saw on Twitter yesterday that this is somehow related to the Doha Agreement is simply not going to stand up to any reasonable person's scrutiny.
No, of course not. Because even if you accept that argument, which I don't know how you do, if Biden didn't like the withdrawal timeline that Donald Trump set out, he didn't have to follow it. he could have gotten out of that agreement, as Pompeo said. So,
and the agreement, by the way, was 2,500, 5,000 American troops, NATO troops, and air power, premised on explicitly in paragraph 4 of the 229-20 agreement on a negotiated power sharing. Not an attack everywhere across the country in every way. They just waited for Biden to veto his generals fighting back. Douglas Brinkley, again, Obama guy. CNN, cut number 3, talking yesterday.
But look at these pictures. On the left, you see that famous picture of the helicopter fleeing the U.S. embassy in Saigon. On the right, another helicopter, another U.S. embassy. But that is this morning in Kabul. Is Blinken wrong or right here?
I think that, Blinken's wrong. I mean, anybody would think about Saigon of a certain age. You know, we had Operation Frequent Wind back then, and we were able to get not just the Americans out under President Gerald Ford, but we brought 6,000 Vietnamese into America. So if you go to Houston or Long Beach or New Orleans and go to Vietnamese American communities, it's because President Ford, overriding Henry Kissinger and his own national security apparatus, said, I want the people that worked with us, that are our allies and our friends in Vietnam, I want them to come to the United States. As of this evening, President Biden's saying, well, we're going to get the Americans out, which is great, but we've got to bring our allies out. We can't be the country that just cuts and runs and leaves total mayhem in our wake. And with Pam, the women you just mentioned, what could happen to them in the coming days and weeks and months? Joe Biden is sitting at Camp David right now, and he must feel humiliated watching these images on TV, but he needs to get into a commander-in-chief mode where he brings home not just the Americans in Afghanistan, which is number one priority, but number two, we must bring the translators and our friends, people that fought for an American-like democracy in Afghanistan. We have an obligation to bring them to a NATO country.
Jake Sherman, the ability, he referenced Camp Pendleton. My wife grew up on the outskirts of Camp Pendleton. My brother-in-law was stationed at that Camp Pendleton. We housed thousands of South Vietnamese there. They ought to put a perimeter up around that airport. They ought to pay the Taliban to let anyone through. We can get thousands of people out of there. We can save thousands of lives. That's on Joe Biden. Is he doing that? Have you heard anything about that?
Well, the images that we see, I mean, I'm not even sure as somebody, I'm an aviation nut. I mean, the airport is basically on, not unusable right now, but overrun with people. And I think the United States is having a tough time processing who's coming into the country, they've said. But interestingly enough, the British, left their ambassador at the airport and is processing people who have worked with them over the years. So I think this is the next big story. I mean, how do we protect the people that helped protect us for so long?
Well, you know what Nixon did in 1973 when the Yom Kippur War threatened to overwhelm Israel? He told Henry Kissinger, quote, tell the Pentagon, send everything that can fly with a few expletives. And so you say to the Pentagon, send everything that can fly, put everyone on the plane, bring them here, take them to Pendleton, take them somewhere. We'll sort them out here. You don't do paperwork when barbarians are at the gate. Let me play Representative Jason Crow, Democrat of Colorado, on MSNBC yesterday, cut 29.
I'm getting messages from people begging for help. I'm getting passport photos from Afghans wanting me to help get their children out. I'm hearing stories of Afghans saying that they're making suicide pacts. So when the Taliban roll into their neighborhood, they're going to do what's necessary to make sure that their children, their daughters aren't enslaved by the Taliban. This is just really beyond description what it is.
Let's
we're
go to
with here.
Cut number five, Helene Cooper, minutes ago on Morning Joe. Cut number 32, excuse me.
One is that, as Richard just mentioned, Joe Biden for 20 years has sort of thought that he knew more about Afghanistan than anybody else. He was in the, you know, Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He was in the Obama White House, where he argued strongly in favor of a much reduced American footprint in Afghanistan, and he was overruled by his president. And he finally gets this chance now as president to do things the way he thought things should have been done all along. So in so many ways, this is completely on President Biden. And to his credit, he has been owning it. He has not backed away from the decision he's made.
That's simply not true, Jake. He's trying to blame Trump. And now I want to get Ian Bremmer criticized me. You know, not many people know who that is. He's a classic Beltway character selling his next book, selling his consulting services, called me a partisan. This isn't a partisan moment. This is a moment for clarity about responsibility. And Joe Biden is trying to shift it onto Donald Trump. And that is shameful as well. Own it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you don't own it, really, to be honest with you. This plan was executed. I understand they inherited a bad plan, but this was executed under Joe Biden. I just don't quite understand how it's Donald Trump's fault. And just on Jason Crow, you played his clip, Democrat of Colorado. He is an Army veteran and somebody who has served overseas. So you're hearing this a lot from people who are vets and who have served overseas.
Yeah, Seth Moulton, Democrat of Massachusetts. Of course, Michael Waltz, I always disclose my son works for him, has been everywhere urging everyone, do away with the paperwork. Just put them on the planes and bring them here. And if I think there are ways, you know, we've got to have CIA people all over that country. And I don't think they can go to Pakistan. They'll be shot there. But I don't know what the relationship is with Tajikistan. But we ought to be able to fly from carriers and bomb where we have to bomb if they will not cooperate. Jake, I look forward. I want you just to be clear. This was not a bad agreement. This was an agreement that was premised on the Taliban acting in a power-sharing negotiation that once they violated, freed us to respond. And as John Podhoretz said yesterday, all Biden had to do was nothing. Leave 2,500 Americans, 5,000 NATO troops, and use air power, and this would not have happened. It is 100% a shameful day on Joe Biden. Jake Sherman of Punch Bowl News, thank you. Be right back, America. Back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for listening to Hugh Hewitt's show. I want to say on this most shameful of days of my broadcast career that America's collapse in Afghanistan, endangering the lives of tens of thousands of Afghans who have stood with us loyally for 20 years. It's a deep embarrassment for the entire country. It is 100% on the shoulders of Joe Biden, who is hiding at Camp David. I really don't know if he's competent to appear on television, but this is truly shocking that we have not seen from the president in the last 24 hours. I remember when George W. Bush was slammed for taking the airplane in a time when we thought we might be under attack in the United States. Joe Biden hiding out in Camp David. Joined now by Michael Shear, The New York Times. Michael, this is really the most shameful day I have been on the air in 30 years. And not as shocking as 9/11. I was live for 8 hours that day. But do you have any parallel?
No, I think this is really it is watching the images of the people clinging to the planes to the plane as it tries to take off from the Kabul airport are just stunning. I mean, to me, what I was thinking about over the weekend was the Iran hostage crisis and the failed attempts to launch a rescue of those folks by President Carter. I mean, it is one of those searing moments that makes one ask, and then I think everybody has been asking this question: is how exactly could this have been planned so badly? How could the government not have and the administration not have anticipated the series of events that were put into play by his decision to withdraw.
You know, your colleague, Helene Cooper of The New York Times, was just on Morning Joe. Let's play what she had to say. Cut number 32.
One is that, as Richard just mentioned, Joe Biden for 20 years has sort of thought that he knew more about Afghanistan than anybody else. He was in the, Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He was in the Obama White House, where he argued strongly in favor of a much reduced American footprint in Afghanistan, and he was overruled by his president. And he finally gets this chance now as president to do things the way he thought things should have been done all along. So in so many ways, this is completely on President Biden. And to
So Michael Shear, do you think he's accepted responsibility, or is, as the Wall Street Journal editors say this morning, is he attempting to blame Donald Trump?
Well, I think both are true in a sense. I mean, I think he is trying to blame Donald Trump, and I do think that what they have not accepted responsibility for in either the statements that they've put out, and frankly the stunning fact that he has not faced the cameras, and talked to the American people and the press directly, but they haven't accepted responsibility for the chaos of the you know, of how it has gone down. I think what Helene is absolutely right about, and what I think they, you know, Joe Biden in his sort of stubborn way has accepted, is that he owns, and he, I think, willingly owns the overall decision to get out. He has wanted to get out of Afghanistan, as Helene said, for a long time. I remember covering the Afghanistan debate in 2009 at the beginning of the Obama administration, and Joe Biden was the one over and over and over again who argued to get out of that war. So I don't think you're going to see him back away from the overall decision. What they're going to try to do is, and what they have been trying to do, is to back away from responsibility for the chaos of the way it unrolled here. And that is what they're going to have a tough time blaming anybody else for.
And Mike, this is where fact checkers need to call it false for Pinocchio's, whatever you do. The Doha agreement, which I reread yesterday, is premised on a negotiated power-sharing agreement. Mike Pompeo stated it yesterday. President Trump would have bombed the hell out of them had they tried the attack in Kunduz, which they did. We were not obliged to pull the 2,500 out under these circumstances. We are not obliged to ask NATO to leave the 5,000. We could have used air power. We did not have to turn over Bagram. It's all a pile of dung, and it needs to be fact-checked, because he rejected his own general's absolute recommendation, well, unified recommendation, that they not do this way.
Well, look, I'm not sure it's my position as a reporter to use the exact same, pile of dung expression. But as a person, and I respect you as somebody who is often a critic of the media for not covering these things, I think, look at media coverage over the last 72 hours. Look at my paper alone and the kinds of stories we've written about his rejection of the generals, about how this has gone down. I don't think anybody in the media, I'm sure you could find examples, but the vast majority of the media, even what you would consider to be the mainstream media, is not sugarcoating this.
Well, I agree with that in the last 24 hours, except on Twitter, where, of course, they are, where the left, the simpering left, and a lot of never-Trumpers are attempting to say, don't blame Biden. What they're trying to do is escape responsibility for Biden by saying it was Trump's fault. But I don't care about that. What I care about is that people understand in July, Joe Biden stood in front of the cameras and said, this can't be Saigon. This won't happen. I played it all on Friday. I played that entire press conference, and everyone went along. And then the intel agency said, 90 days, et cetera. We have left people to die, Michael. There are just people all over the country who are going to be put against a wall and shot.
Well, I remember the statements in July. I remember the press at the time peppering him with questions about, isn't it, about the Afghan interpreters and the others who helped the Americans, and just about every press conference that or every briefing for Jen Psaki over the last month or two has included questions about the pace of the flights to try to get the Afghans out and why it's been so slow. I agree. The only thing I would say, and this is not to deflect blame against away from this administration, is that one of the areas that the Trump administration was particularly slow about was that they, because of Stephen Miller's anti-immigration kind of position, they really slowed processing of what are called SIVs, the special immigrant visas, which are intended to help those folks, not only in Afghanistan, but in Iraq, too. So that is one area where I think the whole process was slowed down, not only by this administration, but by the previous one. But I don't want that to, I don't want you to suggest that I'm deflecting overall blame here. Obviously, the Biden administration owns the chaos at the airport.
I mean, all they have to do is adopt the policies they have at the southern border, and everyone could come in. And I don't know that Stephen Miller did that. I don't doubt that you did reporting on that. I am unaware of that. I did talk to two senior administration officials from the Trump era yesterday both of whom are actively involved in trying to get people out now and have been for weeks. I've talked to Congressman Michael Waltz last week. Mm-hmm. He's been on the air arguing for months to get the interpreters out. This is 7 months. They have done nothing. They've sat on their freaking hands. And now we're going to watch people. I mean, the darkness is coming. Let me play for you, and I want to review this with people. Robert Gates has been a guest on my show twice after both of his books. After the second book, I brought up the fact, his famous quote, Joe Biden hasn't been right about anything in 40 years. And he said he stood by that quote. Here is Robert Gates with Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation, a flashback, cut 31.
Still, I think he's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades. Would he be an effective commander-in-chief?
I don't know. I think I stand by that statement.
I talked to him specifically about that, Michael. I haven't been able to dig up the tape this morning. He said he distrusts the Pentagon. He does not like generals. And he feared him as president because he would disregard their advice. There is reporting everywhere that everyone at the Pentagon told him not to do what he has done. Do you think that is receiving adequate attention?
I mean, look, it's adequate attention. I don't know. I mean, you and I have read that sentiment, the idea that Joe Biden's generals, Dunford and others, that they told him, they warned him that this was going to be maybe not exactly the thing that's unfolded now, but that it would be problematic and that it would be a problem. And so, yeah, I think that deserves lots of attention. Whether it's gotten enough, I don't know, but it certainly deserves a lot of attention. And the president and the people around him, should answer for that. One of the first questions that at whatever press conference Biden ultimately has should be, people told you this was going to happen. Why didn't you listen?
Well, my number one question right now is, where is he? Because what Nixon did in 73 when Israel was being overrun was he called Kissinger and he said, tell the Pentagon to send everything that can fly. And we did, primarily tow anti-tank missiles, and we saved Israel, and they credit Nixon with that. You can, if you're the president of the United States, issue a verbal order that is binding on the SecDef down the chain of command to put everybody at the airport on an airplane and bring them here. You can issue a verbal order to pay the Taliban great sums of money to let people through who are at the airport door. He can do all that. He's doing nothing, Michael.
Well, look, I don't know what he is doing or he isn't doing. I think partly because of what you suggest, which is that he's not been very transparent here in the last, 72, three, four days. I mean, I think I'm really surprised. It's not my job, obviously, to advise the president, but I'm really surprised that he didn't come back to Washington from Camp David. I know the White House will say, as all White Houses do, he can be president from wherever he is. But the optics and the imagery of being up in Camp David while all this was, going down is really striking. It's the kind of mistake that, presidents make. Obama made the same mistake when he was golfing during some of the worst parts of ISIS. I mean, it doesn't look good to the American public. And I'm
George W. Bush flying over New Orleans and looking down.
Yep. Same thing. Yep.
But that at least he was looking at it. Have you ever seen a picture like the one released yesterday of an empty room, a shrunken president, and the revelation of where people are talking to him from with agency officials' pictures on it?
Yeah, no. I was in Martha's Vineyard the day that there was a beheading in by ISIS. And Barack Obama went golfing, and this feels just like that. It feels as disconnected from the moment, as that was, and as the other examples that you cite. I'm really surprised that he's still there.
Michael Scheer, thank you for joining me. Thank you and Helene Cooper for candor. I really do appreciate it. Keep coming back. The show is sponsored by ReliefFactor.com. Normally, I have fun with ReliefFactor.com. Normally, I'd talk about the Cleveland Browns having a great opening of their preseason. I would talk about how great it is to go running after the show. I would talk about all sorts of things. Now, I'll just tell you, relieffactor.com, 1995. It really does work, and I'm going to have to use a lot of it because I'm going to have to walk off an enormous amount of shame, and I bet you there are more than a few people doing the same thing around the country. I didn't even do enough. You know, I warned everyone, but I didn't do enough. I always think to myself, didn't do enough. Could have done more. Should have beaten Joe Biden. Should have beaten him. It was obvious what was going to happen. It was obvious what was going to happen with this gang. And now they're going to bring us a JCP2A 2.0 that is going to be just as bad as this fiasco. I'll be right back. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Inside the Beltway, I've been a broadcaster for 30-plus years. I've never been ashamed to be an American. I'm not ashamed to be an American now, but this is the most shameful day in American history. I've been more shocked. I was shocked on 9/11. I was shocked on January 6th. I've never seen America so ashamed. I'm joined by United States Senator Joni Ernst. Senator, welcome. You are a veteran of the war. What do you think of this morning?
Yeah, thank you, Hugh. And first, before I dive into it, I just want to say thank you to all of the service members, their families that have supported the past two decades in the global war on terror. I think this is a message the president has not communicated to the American public, that thanks to these wonderful men and women, we have been safe here in the United States. And Hugh, you're right. I mean, this is shameful. And I don't know where the president is. He left Washington, D.C. without saying a word to the public, not a word to Congress. It is extremely shameful the way that he has turned his back on our interests in Afghanistan, our men and women that have served over there, and, of course, the people of Afghanistan.
Senator, and should the president address the country today?
Absolutely he should, Hugh. For heaven's sakes, he should have addressed our nation days ago, weeks ago, and yet we have heard nothing from this vacant president. This is a tenuous time. I spent a couple nights ago at an infantry battalion dining out in Council Bluffs, Iowa. These wonderful Iowa Army National Guardsmen, most of them had served in Afghanistan, some of them multiple tours in Afghanistan. And over again, they asked me, what was it for? We're back to square one. What was my sacrifice for? Well, I can tell you again, they kept us safe for two decades. God bless them. But where is the president through all of this, and why is he allowing this to happen?
Senator Ernst, in 1973, Richard Nixon, in the middle of a political scandal, including the Saturday Night Massacre, issued an order to the Pentagon to resupply Israel with the famous line, send everything that can fly. President Biden could have done that as Kunduz fell and sent everything that could fly to all of the various airports around Afghanistan and loaded people up. Should he do so at least now about Kabul Airport? Just issue a direct order over the air to put everyone on planes and bring them here. We will sort it out later.
Well, that is the briefing that we got, not from the president, but from, of course, Secretary Austin and Secretary Blinken yesterday in our all senators brief over the phone. And I will state this is the first time that they have addressed us as members of Congress, just yesterday. And what they indicated to us was that they were going to be operating 24/7, sending in as many planes as possible and evacuating as many people as possible. We haven't really seen that yet. But it's almost a little too late. We need to get everyone out that we possibly can at this moment. But why were we not doing this months ago? You know, I was one of the leaders on the special immigrant visa program in the Senate, along with Democrat Jeanne Shaheen. We have been asking for months why the administration was not moving on this. Months. We should have been engaging in this to get people out of Afghanistan. And here we are now where their chances are very slim.
Senator Ernst, I have been told by former senior Trump administration national security officials that the Doha Agreement did not require the withdrawal of the 2,500 Americans and 5,000 NATO troops. It did not require the turnover of Bagram that the Taliban had begun to violate, and we were not obliged by the terms of that agreement. Is that your understanding?
Well, my understanding would be that to keep a minimal force in a non-combat role would be acceptable. But now we have the new administration, the Biden administration, that was saying we have to pull all of our troops out of Afghanistan. So I am not sure what additional agreements have been made with the Taliban, if they have been made. I know that our special representative, Khalilzad, has been working on these issues. I'm extremely disappointed in the agreements that have come forward through those negotiations. So where it stands right now, I can tell you as members of Congress, I don't think we truly understand what's going on. Again, because we have not been briefed by the people in authority in our United States government. I think this is extremely shameful that they've operated under cover of darkness, not even allowing members of Congress to be able to ask questions about what's going on. And where is Biden in all this? Again, who the heck knows where he is and why he's not engaging? We need leadership right now in the United States, and Biden is not providing that leadership.
Are you afraid of a Benghazi-style situation at the Kabul airport, Senator Ernst?
Absolutely, I'm afraid of a Benghazi 2.0. I think that this is something that many of us have worried about for weeks now as we have watched this scene deteriorate in Afghanistan. So, of course, the word was put out that all of our embassy personnel are safe, and then ... They're at the international airport. Well, to me, our embassy personnel being safe means that they have been safely evacuated from the country. They're out of the reach of the Taliban, and not to mention the thousands and thousands of Afghans and other people that supported us in our mission in Afghanistan. They're still right there at the airport, and there are many Afghans across the country that will not be able to get to Kabul. They will not be able to be evacuated safely, whether it's to a third country or otherwise. So God bless the men and women that are securing the airport right now. They are keeping our Americans safe for the time being. But again, I don't trust the Taliban. Our United States government shouldn't trust the Taliban. And yes, I am concerned about a Benghazi 2.0. I am worried that the Taliban will attack Americans, that they will attack the Afghan interpreters and others that assisted us.
In the call yesterday with Secretary Blinken and Secretary Austin, did they discuss the rules of engagement for American Marines and airborne troops that have flown into the airport concerning the defense of the perimeter of the airport?
Their message was very clear in that if the Taliban attacked us, the Americans, and tried to interfere with the mission of evacuation, that they would be met with basically a swift retribution. So the Taliban attacks us, we go after them. But I'm telling you, we could have avoided this entire situation if we hadn't had such a haphazard withdrawal of Afghanistan.
Senator Ernst, has any American air power been used from the alleged over-the-horizon bases of the, I believe we have a carrier within striking distance. Has any American air power been used in an attempt to interdict the Taliban advance on Kabul?
Well, we do know that they have been using those airstrikes continuously. There are a number that are coming from the Afghan National Defense Security Forces. So the ANDSF has been active in their own airstrikes. But yes, we have been engaging in our own over-the-horizon airstrikes. But as you can imagine, when you are doing those strikes with our rules of engagement, you have to make sure that you are on target and that you're not incurring civilian casualties in a sense. And so when you're doing that over the horizon, it is just that much more difficult to engage the enemy. The time between takeoff and time on target is much longer, and it makes it much more difficult for the Americans to engage. That's why it's important that the Afghans are able to do their own work at this point. And so far, we see how that is going.
Should we be using our Air Force to destroy the assets which are falling into either Iranian or Taliban hands right now?
Yes, I think that is very smart. I think that all of the equipment that has gone to the Taliban, it needs to be destroyed. If it can be located, it needs to be destroyed, of course.
Well, shouldn't we be bombing Bagram? They've got control of Bagram.
Well, right, and that's if you can target those areas. Certainly you want to make sure that you're wiping out as much of the Taliban as possible. And this is where we don't really know what our plans are. We don't, you know, as senators, we don't know what those plans are. And I do understand that the DOD doesn't want to release that type of information to us because, you know, Congress is like a leaky sieve when it comes to information, and we certainly don't want that getting back to sources in Afghanistan. But you're absolutely correct in that those physical assets, if they are being used by the Taliban, especially in order to target Afghans that were helpful to us or to Americans, it needs to be destroyed.
Senator Joni Ernst, thank you for joining me this morning. We'll bring you more America on the collapse of Kabul shortly. Stay tuned.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.